Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. Let me start your week off with the scariest phrase of all. Open phone first hour. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rohn. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loan Supply, simply understand fully and mortgage confidently. Hope you had a nice weekend, and I hope you're off to a good start. Got a very nice program for you, starting with what I just mentioned, an open phone first hour. 1-800-636-8686. I could go 3 hours easy without taking a telephone call, but I'm not going to do that. I'm looking for somebody to come in here and start us off. 1-800-636-8686. You can find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And once again, go ahead and email me. We still have an email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. First hour is wide open. Coming up in hour number two, the head football coach at Appalachian State, Scott Satterfield. Also in hour two, Sam Amick is senior NBA writer for The Athletic. In fact, to start the second hour, we go back-to-back with those two interviews. So you want to call in the first hour. That's the best time to get through. You don't have to wait. We get it going early on. Call now. In the third hour, Pete Prisco, a CBS Sports colleague of mine, joins us, and we talk NFL then. But as I mentioned, I've got content. Lots of content, lots of different takes. What do you want to hit on? NFL, college football, NBA, World Series, NHL. You can't go wrong. You cannot not have a solid take today. Not coming off the weekend we had. So, if I've got to start somewhere, let me start in the NFL. And there are a lot of amazing stories. Lots of drama from the past weekend. Plenty of good stories, but a story that I think is amazing that's not getting enough attention, not getting enough run. The LA Rams. I mean, sure, people are talking about them, but not nearly enough. Not only the Rams, but how about Football City, USA? The Chargers are 5-2. In and of themselves, they'd be an amazing story. But they're taking a back seat because of the absolute juggernaut that is Sean McVay's Rams, who went out yesterday and body-bagged the 49ers on alumni weekend, no less. You never want that to happen, but you especially do not want that to happen when Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and the entire gang is in the house to watch that. And what they saw was the Rams drop a legendary ass-kicking on the once proud 49er franchise. And they did so in pretty much the most disrespectful way possible with brutal efficiency. Where to start? Jared Goff only threw it 24 times, still put up 200 yards and a couple of scores. Todd Gurley only carried it 15 times. He had three more TDs. None of the Rams' ridiculous wideouts had 80 yards. The offense basically decided that 39 points was all they needed and then just pretty much stopped. I mean, honestly, have you ever seen a quieter 7-0 team? Has the team ever rolled into somebody else's house, beat the hell out of them by 29 at a time when every single legend of that franchise was right there to see it and then go home like it was not even a thing? Nothing at all. And if you thought this L.A. team was scary, racking up its first half dozen wins, while the son of bum got his business in order, yesterday the defense went out and it wrecked house. Aaron Donald had a season in a day. Check the stat line. 9 tackles, 8 solo, 4 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits, and one of the most disrespectful, abusive takeaways in the history of the National Football League.
Rita back in with a 1st and 10 pitch and hit by a ton, including Mark Barron, who allows him just a gain of 2. Rich out to the 22-yard line and a shove after the play.
Well, what happened was Aaron Donald rips it out. And somehow, not only does he rip it out, but he's able to hold on to it. Watch he rips it from his arm, and he's got it right here in the pile. And that's an amazing play by the Pro Bowl defensive tackle. And that's why you pay him a lot of money.
That's why you give that guy a blank check and let him fill out the amount. What a monster. With one arm, this guy holds off a blocker, makes a tackle, and rips the ball out of Matt Breida's arms and into a perfect one-arm tuck. It was so swift, so sudden. It took everybody a moment to figure out exactly what the hell just happened. Like, how did that dude do that? How is that possible? Well, that's what Aaron Donald does. He makes people say, how did he do that? How is that possible? Remember this spring when Donald was out there hooking idiots on April Fool's Day, fighting off rubber knives and working pass rush drills. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could put a couple of actual butcher blades into the hands of the Niners offensive line, and it still would not have been a fair fight. There's not a more dominant team in the NFL right now. And yes, the Chiefs and Patty Big Gun might be the most exciting squad in the league, but nobody is as ruthless as the Rams are. I have lots of thoughts on the Chiefs, which I'll get to, but I want to start with the Rams. They're 7-0. They're a plus 107 on the season in scoring differential, which is nearly 30 points better than the next best team. And again, these guys are only now starting to figure out how to play together on the defensive side of the ball. To tell you how dominant they are, they're 8.5-point favorites next weekend against Aaron Rodgers. That's the biggest underdog that Aaron Rodgers has ever been in his career. And the way the Rams have it rolling right now, that's a line where you almost expect the money to come flooding in on LA's side. I mean, wouldn't you make the argument that if they're going to win, they're going to win by more than 8.5? Super teams are not supposed to work in the NFL. My man Trevor Price has told me that every single week on the RPO podcast. They're not supposed to work in the NFL. Then again, dudes like Sean McVay are not supposed to be handed talent like the crew Les Snead stacked for him. 7 wins in, and maybe the most surprising thing is it all feels like clockwork. They're 7-0. Football City USA is 12-2. Do not sleep on the Chargers. And the last undefeated team in the NFL is only now hitting its stride. 7-0 and not getting enough run. 7-0 and not getting enough credit. The Chargers are 5-2. Sure, they had a little bit of help in England, but they're not getting enough run. We go more than 2 decades without football, and all of a sudden, this is Football Town USA. Football City USA. 12-2 if you need any of us. 1-800-636-8686. Now, having watched the Chiefs last night, and I need more time to lay this out, let me just start you off with a question. About those Chiefs. They looked awesome. Absolutely awesome.
How about those Chiefs?
Borderline unfair. My man Andy Reid with 200 career wins. Patty Big Gun doing what he does. And so many weapons. I tweeted last night, how the hell does one team have so many weapons? It's borderline unfair. They're borderline impossible to match up with. And there's something else to watch. So we'll talk about that later on. Man, the league changes so quickly. It was only a few weeks back that I was talking about Jacksonville being a legitimate, bona fide Super Bowl threat, if not maybe the team to beat in the AFC. I mean, what? They came close last year, and they annihilated the Patriots earlier this season. They look like he's Batman.
I'm Batman.
They look like the team to beat in the AFC a few weeks back. Now they are imploding. The Jags. Normally, I'd start the program with a Jacksonville take and hit you with a Duval. Now it's like, Duval. I mean, it's depressing. Borderline depressing. In fact, it's not borderline. It is depressing. They are a disaster. I don't know. Maybe you go out there and get a backup quarterback. But they had the chance, and they didn't do it. Let me check you clones out. I'm always curious what you clones are thinking about and talking about coming into the start of the week. Actually, I'm not curious. I already know. I know what you think before you think it. I know what you're going to tweet before you thumb it out. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to sit behind this mic and know that you're really interested in talking about the release of Ray Carruth. Let's see what you got, though. Starting off with Twitter. At Hitman Canadian, the 49ers are like Hawks Carr. Once proud and cruising, now sputtering and needs to be scrapped. Both worth $1,000. Yeah, they've got some work to do. They're banged up and they ran into a juggernaut. I'm not surprised that the Rams did them like that in their house. I am saying I'm kind of embarrassed for the Niners that the Rams did them like that in their house in front of all their legends and icons. Man, that's embarrassing. But the Rams are ruthless. Trevor Douglas tweets, am I about the only one that is so happy that Herb got his ass handed to him by Purdue? Could not have happened to a bigger D-bag. Trevor, I can't speak for everybody, but I think that I can unequivocally and confidently say, no, you are not the only one that's happy. How do I know that? I'm looking at Twitter. Bad loss, Buckeye fan. Bad, bad, bad loss. That cannot happen. Goodbye, playoffs. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me that those who make those decisions are going to look at a 30-point loss to Purdue and say, you're not worthy. They'll overlook all the other baggery that goes along with the program, but they will not overlook the fact that Purdue just beat you by 30. There's no getting around that. I'll get to that later on. Here's my thing. Things that happen on Saturday night generally do not jump Sunday and make it to Monday, unless those things include a 30-point beatdown by Purdue. Unless those things include the Lakers and Rockets having a brawl, and a good brawl. Both those things happened on Saturday. Both those things will make it to Monday. Dear Jim, Patrick Mahomes is the real deal. The genuine article. Not that we would know. Signed, Soy Milk Drinkers. War gluten, warn copious amounts of cholesterol. Matthew in Denver. Dear Jumpman, how the hell does one team have so many weapons? Yours? How the hell does Alvin DeLauro have so many kids? Brendan in the Natty.
Dude, no.
War Sparty in Ohio State, not having it better than Michigan. Right, so Michigan, unlike Ohio State, took care of business. The problem with Michigan taking care of their business is that even if Jim Harbaugh finally does what he was brought in and paid Hellfire Jack to do, namely contend for and win national championships, beat his rival, even if he beats his rival, how much is a win over that rival really worth when that rival just got hammered by Purdue? In other words, Michigan, I know you'll tell me that if you run the table, you'll be just fine. Yeah, I don't know. Not after what happened to Ohio State. And then what if Ohio State punks you again anyway? Be that conference's worst nightmare. Look at this. Romy, good trunk. I mean luck. Keeping the show between the ditches. Clone's gonna clone. Sign Nikki. Nikki. War Lady Clones. Nikki with the first Ray Carruth blast. Good trunk. Good trunk, Nikki. You too, Nikki. All right, elsewhere, World Series. Dodgers, they were 10 games under 500. They were left for dead. And now they're right back where everybody expected them to be. They just got there in a different manner. Red Sox, 108 wins. They went through the defending world champs. They went right through the Yankees. They're well-rested. They're set. They're ready to roll. Who you got? Dodgers or Red Sox? It's the World Series we all wanted. Lakers and Rockets. What a glorious evening that was. What an amazing night that was. Laker fans chanting Rondo's name. Rondo getting ejected. Brandon Ingram starting that whole thing. Allegedly, like I think. CP3 getting ejected. Punches thrown. Punches landed. Lance Stephenson acting as peacekeeper. That was awesome. Give me some more of that. That's the most exciting night I've seen at Staples in a long, long time. All right, so I've got all of those and a lot more. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones now, number one. Your calls coming up next segment, if they're good enough. Are you ready for the cold months ahead? Winter months can present many challenges for your car. There are a lot of things to do when you want to go about winterizing your car. For instance, do you have enough antifreeze? Check. Tire pressure? Check. Wiper blades and fluids? Check. Check. Heaters and defrosters working properly? They are. Do you have emergency road supplies? Check. You should also have lubricant ready for latches, hinges, door locks, and weather stripping. Now, what is the one thing you don't want to forget? Your battery, of course. Cold vehicles can reduce battery power by up to 50%. And when it's cold, your engine needs even more current from the battery to get started. Keep this in mind. Car batteries give little notice before they die out. One out of every four batteries will fail this winter. It's a given. We know that's going to happen. Make sure yours is not one of them. Get your battery tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it does need to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstar battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Like I said, the scariest phrase in the jungle, open phone first hour. Luckily, I'm not relying upon it or dependent upon it, but I'm inviting you to call in. Top of hour number two, we go back to back. It's going to get tough to get through at that point. I'm just saying, you want to do it right now, coming off the weekend we had. There's so many amazing topics. Today is the best day to call, and this is the best hour to call. It's a rare day that the emailers are way out in front of the callers. This guy writes, "What's up, Romer? After 2 weeks of being jungle free, I finally get to watch the jungle live on CBS Sports. I went straight Pat McAfee, and I told my boss to go have S with himself. War sitting at home on a Monday. Tom in Reno.
Sex with me."
Oh, man, Tom. He told his boss to go have sex with himself. I think I know what you really told him, Tom. It worked, right? You got fired. Good news, bad news. Bad news is you don't have a job. The good news is you're front and center watching CBS Sports Network, checking it all out. There you go, Tom. That's your email, bro. ZipRecruiter.com, Tom. This email reads, "Dear America." You like that? You like that? Not one.
You like that?
But two winning NFL teams. The Dodgers back in the World Series. What would be a five in LA in front row Amy is going back home. And Brandon Ingram solidifying himself as number two in his weight class in MMA. We deserve the best, so we have the best. Signed, John in Huntington Beach. War Hawk replacing new car scent with pot scent. He's got a point now. Two winning NFL teams. The Dodgers are back in the World Series. And I'm not going to comment on front row Amy. It's not my place. I don't care. He did, though. He called her a five. A five in L.A. And Brandon Ingram solidifying himself as number two in his weight class. I'm not really sure why he got upset. I'm not sure what he took offense to. I'm pretty sure he started that whole thing. And I'm pretty sure that I'm not unhappy about it. Hey, Snag. Please send Ross to get ruined by Danica Stat. Regards, Blake forgetting how to play quarterback and Jalen and company losing it in the secondary. Scott in the Bay. Scott in the Bay. Scott in the Bay used to hit me up on JRIB all the time. My man is the oldest of the old school. It, like I said, good email submissions. Snag, we all love the Red Sox. Regards, NorCal and Bostonians. Look at my man. He's going back to back. Scott in the Bay. War the Dodgers, keeping their 30-year streak alive. Hey, Scott, I know it'll break your heart, but would it really surprise you if L.A. found a way to get it done? They found a way to get here when they were left for dead. That said, Boston is loaded. Boston has so many ways to beat you. And it was only a matter of time. Romy, it's a getaway Monday, and I am feeling it. Alvy, give me some Marky Mark. Just do it, Alvy. Play along. Alvy, give me some Marky Mark. I am denimed up, processed in through the system, and I'm about to make it a great Monday. Out on parole, Ray Carruth. That's enough of that, Alvy. I know it's been a long time. I know he went to jail a long time ago. I know for a fact Hawks never even heard of Ray Carruth. He put a hit on his pregnant girlfriend. He was looking to kill her and their unborn child. So this guy may be out. He may be processed. And I'm not really sure what you believe in. But if hell exists, my man will be in the front row. Thanks, Batman. Like you're my clones, right? You're my listeners. I get that. I love that. I respect that. Believe me, everything I have in my life is literally because of you and my crew.
I love it.
But mostly you. But if you're my crew, check that. You're my clones. You're my listeners. You've made me what I am. Have I ever come out here and got in front of this mic and made jokes about Ray Carruth? No. So where are you getting it from? And why do you think that that's all right when I would never do that? Like, I'm talking to you and you're reacting to me, but you're coming with something I would never, ever do. I don't understand that. Hey, Jim, I hadn't seen much of this Mahomes kid until today, but I'm doing my best to get caught up on all his highlights. That is, if I can figure out how to work this damn iPad, signed Ray Carruth. P.S. What's the trunk space in Camrys look like these days? Mike in Buffalo, continuing to help. War Lee in Vancouver, the godfather of Ray Carruth smack. Okay, let's just stop right now. Let's stop right now. You know, if you want to talk about the legal system, if you want to talk about even Ray Carruth saying that he wants legal guardianship over this child, who's no longer a child, because he's been away for like 18 to 20 years, we can have that conversation, I guess. But we're not going to have the other part of the conversation. The conversation that you want to have. The conversation which includes, P.S., what does the trunk space in Camrys look like these days? He's asking that, Hawk. I know you don't know this. He's asking because Ray Carruth was found hiding in the trunk of a car. Batman, don't bring me any more Ray Carruth emails. Hey, Rome. Just want to wish you a happy Ray Day. There he is, Lee in Vancouver, of course. I'm not doing it. Last I checked, my show. Last I checked, my name was on the marquee. Last I checked, we're not doing it. I will talk about the Chiefs, though. I can certainly do that. After watching what they did at Cincinnati last night, that's my question. How about those Chiefs?
How about those Chiefs?
I need time to lay out my take, so let's take a telephone call. We go to Kansas City. Ryan in Kansas City. It's good to have you on the show, Ryan. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. As a Chiefs fan since 1981, I really want to try to now speak for the entire Chiefs nation. And we've had quarterbacks before, Elvis Gerback, Trent Green, Matt Castle, even Joe Montana in his late years. Hey, we've dated pretty girls before, but we've never had the hottest woman on the planet. Now, I've yelled at my TV. I've thrown shoes at my TV. I have never giggled at my TV, and that's what's happening. I'm having feelings now for this team that I have never had ever before. It feels like I'm in love, and I'd say war fantasy of having a Super Bowl party where you're actually watching the ball game instead of worrying about Eloise's seven-layer dip and unwar everybody out there that says all the Chiefs have is Super Bowl IV. Rock it out, Jim. Love the show.
My man, Ryan in KC, rack him. That's a KC fan saying, I've never had these feelings before. I've dated some pretty attractive ladies before, but I've never had feelings like this. I've never giggled before. He's like, we've just got the hottest dime ever. I don't know, bro. Steve DeBerg was not hot enough for you? Brody Croyle was not the dime you've always dreamed of? How about Steve Bono? Matt Castle, come on. Come on now. I need the entire take, and I need some space to lay it out. I've never seen a young quarterback like Pat Mahomes. And there's no hyperbole in that. I literally have never seen a guy like that. I have never seen a young quarterback like that in terms of what he can do physically and mentally, in terms of this guy's composure, creativity. I mean, this guy is a superstar. Superstar. And then on top of that, you give him the weapons he has and the way they can spread the field. And they have so many different ways to beat you. I mean, football, like every other sport, is a game of mismatches. You can't match up with these guys. You simply cannot match up with the weapons they have. And again, my question, how did one team end up with so many weapons? The question, of course, coming in is their defense. Going into last night's game, they were the worst team in the NFL defensively. They were dead last, DFL, in defense in the NFL. But I saw them flying around last night making plays. And the Bengals, under the bright lights, in prime time, also on the marquee, did what they usually do in those situations. I mean, again, when things change or when things go, they go quickly. I'm not saying their season's over. I am saying a few weeks back, the Bengals looked to me like a playoff team. Not last night, they didn't. Not last night. Chiefs fans, is this year different? If this is your year and this year is different, tell me why you think so. That's coming up. Got to get to the Lakers. Got to get to Herb and the Buckeyes. Got to get to the World Series. All of that still ahead. But phone lines are open right now. 1-800-636-8686. In terms of the Lakers, you've heard my discussion about this. Universal reasons to go. Spitting in somebody's face is a universal reason to go. Nobody would ever look at somebody spitting in somebody's face and the second guy throwing a punch and saying, you can't do that. Everybody would agree. Except Rajon Rondo says, I didn't do it. But then the video emerged. We'll hit that when we come back. First up, though, here's a bottom of the hour sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you know, every Monday is an ATP Day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Listen later on. I will answer one of yours. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And some of the worst emails in the history of radio. Hey, Rome. Good luck to Ray Carruth. But I'd like everybody to know we're losing our point guard. Regards, Scott Peterson's prison basketball team. Steve and PHX. Steve, I guarantee there is nobody listening to this show or watching this show on TV that laughed at that. Nobody thought that was funny. Nobody. You know why that is, Steve? I'll give you two good reasons. Number one, murder is not funny. Number two, neither are you, Steve. Stop emailing me. Look at me, Steve. Stop emailing me. All right, so I made this point, and let me reiterate this point. If it happened on Saturday, generally it's not important enough to work its way to Monday. It's kind of a lazy way to do things, right? And especially the way the NFL works and the way the sporting world overall works. If it happened on Saturday, by the time Monday morning rolls around, it may as well have happened a year ago. Unless Purdue breaks Ohio State's face and cancels the rest of their season. Then I will talk about it on a Monday, which I will get to later on. And by the way, how'd that feel, Buckeye fans? I had to imagine that it was sub-awesome to see the Boilermakers absolutely carve up your crew. And then to see your idol, Urban, looking like he saw a ghost on the sideline. Wondering if it's once again time to set his priorities straight and spend quality time with his family. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, at least not right now, not yet. Because there was something so crazy that took place on Saturday night that I can't not talk about it. And I'm going to need some room because what happened truly was amazing and spectacular. What I'm referring to is LeBron's home debut for the LA Lakers. But more specifically, to the brawl that took place between the Lakers and the Rockets. Now, normally when I'm referring to a basketball brawl or a basket brawl, it's with air quotes. Because typically, it's just a bunch of guys jawing, maybe some chest bumps, and a lot of dudes being held back. Dudes in the association typically do not want to go, which is good. Because these guys are gigantic and they're physical. And we know what happens when dudes that big, with no pads or helmets, know what they're doing and decide they do want to go and let their hands go. Faces get broken. So you don't want to see that. It's a good thing that generally in the association, dudes do not want to go. Except Saturday, dudes wanted to go. And while not a full-scale riot, as NBA fights go, that was pretty legit. Punches actually were thrown. Punches actually did land. And so did one finger jab to the face. Cats were getting ripped apart. Staples was all in and all about it. For whatever reason, in case you missed it, let me give you a sense of what went down. Here are a couple of quotes the players gave to The Athletic to give you an idea of how it was. Carmelo Anthony of the Rockets, quote, "It was bull bleep. Plain and simple. Unacceptable. JaVale McGee, Lakers center, quote, "I didn't see it personally, but I just saw it like everyone else saw it on Instagram." Mike D'Antoni, quote, "I saw it from a distance. I wasn't getting into that. I had glasses on. I couldn't go in there," end quote. All right, so exactly what happened. What the hell happened Saturday night? The game had been getting pretty chippy, and then it went off. With over 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Houston was up by just one. James Harden gets a rebound off a LeBron miss, and he goes Harden with it coast to coast. Go ahead, let it roll.
Here comes Houston into the front court. Harden down the middle. Harden all the way. Foul. Goes to the rim. No bass on the continuation. And all the Rockets are living. And wow, Ingram just pushed James Harden in the face. And Ingram just lost his cool. And Lance Stephenson, of all people, goes in and saves Ingram from himself.
My man John Ireland on the call. So Ingram did shove Harden, for whatever reason, and then argued with an official. He was separated from everybody. Things appear to die down, except they didn't. Because while Ingram was up near midcourt, Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo were having words. And then those words became eye pokes and punches.
Yeah, boy, that was a really dumb play by Ingram. Oh, now here's a fight. Here's Rondo going at it, and now they're throwing punches, and this is multiple ejections.
And suspensions.
This is multiple ejections. And Ingram and Carmelo are out at half court. Security people are out there trying to separate it. This is very ugly for a home opener. And Ingram has completely lost his cool. Harden is yelling at Ingram like, what's your problem?
Yeah, like, what did I do? He's getting the calls when these guys are running into him, and that's what's frustrating him.
And Chris Paul is mad. LeBron's in the middle of it. Chris Paul's got a bloody nose. The crowd is now chanting. And multiple ejections are coming here.
You know why Chris Paul had a bloody nose? Because he got punched in the face. It, like I said, as association fights go, that was pretty legit. Paul landed that solid finger jab. And again, ask anybody, that's absolutely a reason to go. Somebody pokes you in the face? That's a reason to go. You poke Rondo in the face? Rondo's going to go. Rondo will go, and believe me, Rondo has gone over much less than that. Rondo landed a pretty clean shot on Paul's jaw, and Paul tried to counter. Again, not for show. Rondo was looking to knock CP3 the hell out, and Paul was not about to let that one go to the judges' scorecards either. He wanted to end Rondo himself, and he might have gotten the chance if his fellow banana boater, LeBron, did not come over and wrap him up. And then Melo grabbed Brandon Ingram, who came flying back in. Ingram probably thought, well, I started this whole thing. I might as well be the guy to finish it. And if it ended right there, you've already got yourself one of your crazier Laker nights in recent years. Except it did not end right there. It was not just on the court. According to The Athletic, CP3 told teammates that his wife and Rondo's significant other were jawing at each other in the stands as well. And then for hours around the league, there was a mystery, and online as well. How'd that thing start? Who started that thing? Did Chris Paul start it when he poked Rondo in the eye? Or did Rondo spit at CP3? The Rockets were adamant about Rondo as a spitter. Rondo and the Lakers denied it. And for a while, there really was no definitive angle that could show spit flying from Rondo's mouth. Conspiracy theories abounded. Did CP3 make it up? Was Melo actually the spitter, and did he accidentally catch CP3 with some friendly fire? And then it surfaced. An 84-second slow-mo video in high res that appears to show a liquid of some sort flying from Rondo and hitting CP3. And it makes for pretty fascinating viewing. And don't get me wrong. Somebody spitting on somebody else is pretty disgusting. It is an official reason to go. A universally accepted reason to go. I've always said that, but don't take my word for it. Take Melo's. Melo told The Athletic, quote, "You don't do that. You don't do that to nobody. In sports, on the streets, that's blatant, disrespectful, that's unacceptable." That's the first time in a long time I've agreed with something that came out of Melo's mouth. Or PJ Tucker, who was on the show last week, and I generally do agree with him. He said, quote, "You're a grown man. If somebody spits on you, it's crazy. It's over. There ain't nothing else to talk about. Nothing else to talk about. That's just the ultimate disrespect. Not even swinging is worse. Spitting on somebody is the ultimate." I can't disagree with that. Spitting is the ultimate. And if somebody spits on you, there really is nothing else to talk about. But what's crazier than the spitting incident and the ensuing fight? How about the Lakers crowd chanting Rondo's name? Or Lance Stephenson being the peacemaker? You heard me. Mr. Born Ready was Mr. Born Peacemaker in that fight. And even that wasn't as crazy as some goofball in a weird outfit on the sideline getting ejected from Staples. Oh, wait. That goofball in the weird outfit? That was Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Hell, why not, right? Why the hell not? The only thing better than him getting ejected was the caption of the photo in USA Today, which read, Anthony Kiedis, lead singer of the band Red Hot Chili Peppers, is escorted off the floor after he yelled profanities at Houston Rockets guard Chris Paul, not pictured, while he was being led off the floor after he was ejected from the fourth quarter of the game against the Lakers at Staples Center. My reaction to that, damn right, Ant, damn right. You let them know that you do not come into Staples and start something, because if you do, the 55-year-old lead singer of a mid-90s band is going to start dropping F-bombs. Damn right, Ant. And now the aftermath. Ingram gets 4 games. Rondo gets 3 games. CP3 gets 2 games. Pretty interesting, because if Rondo really did spit on CP3... and it looks like there was some sort of liquid that came flying from him and hit Paul. If that's true, 3 games is pretty light. Pretty light. But I have a question for you. Did that game give you enough to talk about? I'd say so. And again, I can't stress this enough. That was LeBron's home debut. That was only game 2 of the NBA season. And we've already reached 55-year-old rocker ejected for screaming at all-star guard level of insanity. Even if they're not a playoff team, and considering they're 0-2, and now they just lost 2 starters for multiple games with San Antonio coming up next. That is not the start they were looking for. But even if the Lakers are not playoff ready, they're still must-see TV. And hell, I don't know. Maybe that was Irv and Rob Pelinka's plan all along. We may not make the playoffs this season, but you're not going to be able to take your eyes off this show. And if that was their plan, they're right on schedule. Well done, fellas. Personally, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do as I wait for Rondo to come off that suspension. It's going to be the longest 3 games of my entire life, and I'm not even playing. The crowd at Staples was chanting Rondo's name in his first game as a Laker. And I'm not even that surprised. This is what you get when you bring in Rondo, Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee. What you get when you bring them in is awesome. Right on schedule. All right, so what do you think? Did he spit on CP3 or not? Rondo says, how can I spit on the guy? I've got a mouth guard. Why would I do that? How could I do that? But then you've seen that slow-mo, high-res video. Did it appear he spit on him? And if he spit on him, was it inadvertent or was it intentional? Because the one thing that we can all agree on is you spit on somebody, you spit in their face, it's disgusting. It's a reason to go. But then Rondo would say, really? I'll give you a reason to go. A guy jabbing you in the face with their finger. And I'm going to agree with both. Those are both reasons to go, so they both gave each other the hands. Dear Rome Slice, Rondo allegedly spit in Chris Paul's face? Very classy. Regards, adults with hickeys. Geoff and Lincoln, wore irate using a toothpick and a napkin as a Dodgers car flag. Geoff, wouldn't he need a car for a car flag? Geoff, you are so bent that you didn't go with a shopping cart flag blast. You lose again, Geoff. The only other Jeff that I've ever seen spell his name like that was that giraffe from Toys R Us. Come on, Geoff. Get right. or you had your chance to get through, and you failed because now we go back-to-back. Scott Satterfield joins me next. Sam Amick right after that. Pete Prisco in Hour 3. You're in the jungle. I